I'd like to read a very well-known passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7, which is on page 1153 in my Bible. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many are they who enter in through it. For narrow the gate, and straiten the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The Bible often deals with contrasts. We've mentioned this many times in readings, that we come across chapters where you have big contrasts in the way that the scripture presents things. And in Matthew chapter 7, you have the person that built their house upon the rock, and the person that built their house upon the sand. And you have the tree that produced good fruit, and the tree that produces bad fruit. But perhaps the distinction and contrast is no greater seen than in this verse here. We have two ways and two gates. And the first gate is a narrow gate. And if you carry on into verse 14, narrow the gate and straighten the way that leads to life. And there's also another way, a broad way, that leads to destruction. And there isn't a third way. There is these two black and white ways presented here in this chapter. And as with many other verses in the Bible, it's very black and white, it's very blunt, it's very straight to the point. There's no messing around, there's no grey area. It's very direct. There is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to destruction. And the Lord Jesus here is presenting, he's finishing his, or coming to the end of his, what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's presenting these two ways. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many are they who enter in through it, for narrow the gate and straiten the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Every single person that has ever lived is on a journey of either one of these two ways. And we start our journey here the moment we're born on this earth. We are not in the default position of being on the way to life. That is not the way that we start our lives down here. Because, dear friend, when you read through the Bible and you look at your own life and you look at the life of the Lord Jesus as your perhaps standard to compare yourself, you see very quickly and very clearly that you do not come up to the standard that God requires in order to allow you to spend eternity with him in his home, worshipping and praising him forever. We do not come up to that standard in our natural in our old natural nature. That is not where we start our lives. David, in Psalm 51, I think it is, talks about it being brought forth in iniquity. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody said, and I can't remember if it was a preaching or a reading, that coming short is a very gracious way of putting it. It's almost like we've just missed the mark. We haven't just missed the mark. We've come infinitely short of the mark that God has set forth. The mark, if you like, the perfection that God requires is seen in this person that we've been, who said these words here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the standard that God has set forth as that's the standard of perfection, and we come nowhere near close to that. We start our lives and we come on this journey, we walk through our pathway down here, and we find ourselves that we are nowhere near the standard that God has set out. We want to go and do our own things. It says in Proverbs somewhere about there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Dear friend, that's the way that we've chosen. That's the way that we have to take responsibility for, that we start our pathway down here, and the way that we've chosen, we wander around, we wander away from the pathway that God would want us to go down, because we have inside of us inherently this, we've come under the curse of sin. And dear friends, sin means that we are separated from our God. We are separated from God, and we cannot do anything in our own strength to get ourselves back into a relationship with God. We cannot, at the end of our pathway, find ourselves in the presence of God, because God is a holy and a righteous God and cannot allow sin into his presence. These are very basic facts of the gospel, dear friend, that we as sinners separated from God, God as holy and righteous cannot allow sin into his presence. That's the quandary that we find ourselves in, and that's the basic starting point of the gospel, is that you have to understand, you have to admit, you have to know deep down in your heart that you are a sinner, that you are away from God, and that, as it says in Ephesians, without God and without hope in the world. Dear friend, there is nothing that you can do to save yourself tonight. There's nothing that you can do that can give you the life that you so desperately and urgently require. There's nothing you can do, dear friend, that can divert your journey onto the pathway of life that we heard about in this chapter down here. We are, dear friends, in our natural state, heading to destruction. And yet God, this is where the good news of the gospel comes in. God, in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, has seen us, his creature, human beings, wandering around down here without a direction, without hope, and he has come out and worked from his own side in order to bring about blessing. As I said, we can do nothing of ourselves, but God, in his great love, has loved us. While we were yet sinners, it says, while we were the very enemies of God himself, God has looked on us in love and has devised a way whereby there is now an opportunity for men, women and children to go on this pathway that leads to life. And dear friend, it says here about entering in through the narrow gate. And dear friend, if you read John 10, in some translations, in this translation, the Lord says, I am the door. In some translations, he says, I am the gate. The way to life, dear friend, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can enter onto this journey, this pathway, I'm kind of imagining it like Pilgrim's Progress in my head. The only way you can start this journey that leads to life, dear friend, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the person, he's the man that God sent to undo all the works of the devil. He's the person that God sent to make good his great plans of salvation. Because, dear friend, God, as I said, is a holy God. God is a righteous God, and God can't just overlook the things that you've done and said and thought that are wrong in your life. God wouldn't be holy, God wouldn't be righteous if they were just ignored, and you were let into his presence, if you were allowed to come into a relationship with him without first having your sin completely and utterly dealt with. And yet, dear friend, because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of that work on that cross, your sin has been completely dealt with, and your sins tonight can be forgiven. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. Enter in through the narrow gate. There's no other way, dear friend. Acts says there's no other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. You see this here, it doesn't say you can enter in through the narrow gate. It starts with an imperative verb, to have a bit of grammar lesson. An imperative verb, enter. The gospel's not an option. Or there isn't a choice here where you can either pick this one or you can pick this one. The gospel is set out for the obedience of faith. If you read through Romans, you come across time and time again, commands. You must repent. You must believe. You must have faith. There's no question of choice. There's no question of multiple options. It's enter in through the narrow gate. If you want, dear friend, to come into that relationship with God, if you want to come to know God as your Savior, if you want to have this life that God is promising in this verse, you must enter in through the gate. You must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no other way through. You can't get through any other way. Enter in through the narrow gate. I think it's quite interesting that it's a narrow gate, dear friend. The other way is broad. Wide the gate and broad the way. And I think, dear friend, that this clearly shows that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it's a very individual matter. You go through, you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ individually and personally. I think the broad way is, in my head, it pictures a very crowds of people going up it. You can go up the way to destruction with loads and loads of different people, great big crowds. But with the narrow gate, it's you go through and you have that independent, individual rather, transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a narrow way. One by one you can go through. And dear friend, tonight there's, I don't know, 20 people, 30 people sitting in this room. And yet, dear friend, God wants to deal with each and every individual soul in this room on a personal level. We're dealing tonight, dear friend, with a personal God, with a personal gospel, with a personal Saviour. Somebody that wants to know you, somebody that desires to have you in his presence. And dear friend, you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. So you enter in through the narrow gate, one by one, dear friend. You personally tonight need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no good thinking that because you were brought up in a Christian home, or because you're sitting in a meeting room right now, or because your whole family's a Christian family, that that's good enough. Dear friend, you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, individually. That transaction that goes on, dear friend, must happen in your heart and your heart alone. And it's a narrow gate. I think it's narrow as well if you think about those, when you go to a railway station and you have to go through the turnstiles. And it's very difficult to try and get any baggage or luggage through the turnstiles. And dear friend, I think it's the same with this gate. God doesn't want you to bring anything with you. There's nothing that you can bring to God that is going to in any way enhance your salvation. Everything has been done completely and utterly at the cross at Calvary. God isn't interested in your righteous works that you might have bought, that you might have done in the past. God isn't interested in the charity work. God isn't interested in the fact that you've been brought up in a Christian home. God isn't interested in the fact that you might have done many marvelous and good works in your life. Dear friend, God is interested if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've come in repentance and faith. Dear friend, you don't need to bring anything with you. You can't bring anything into God's presence of your own self-righteousness. God isn't interested in that. God's interested in a brand new start. He's not looking to improve you. He's looking to start over again, a new nature, a new beginning, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction. Many who enter through it. You can't get a greater contrast, dear friend, between these two ways. The narrow gate, as you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and you start this pathway that leads to life. Or you can carry on, dear friend, the way that leads to destruction. Those are the two paths that the Lord Jesus presents here to his listeners. And those are the two paths, dear friend, that are the only path, dear friend, is that presented in the gospel is the way to life. But we as human beings are on either one of these two paths. And it's a wonderful thing that God has allowed this path to life to even exist, that God has stretched out in grace, sent his only beloved Son to this world to die on that cross at Calvary. You see, the Lord Jesus is the way to life because he had to die on that cross. We live because he died. The only way that we can come to know this life that God desires to give each and every person in this room is by realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect, sinless, holy, Son of God, died on a cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago, shed that blood so that you, dear friend, might come into blessing tonight, 2,000 years later. That's the wonder of the gospel, is that something that happened 2,000 years ago can have an impact on your eternal destiny right now in this room in Worthing. Dear friend, there's nothing more miraculous, there's nothing more amazing to think that God has planned this wonderful event, everything sort of converged on the cross, everything in time, this single moment in time where the Lord Jesus was hanging on that tree And he shed that blood so that, dear friend, hundreds and hundreds of people like you and like me have the opportunity tonight to come into the blessing that God wants to give each and every person. We mentioned it in the reading today that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was enough so that all men and women and children can be saved. There's no exceptions to this rule. There's nobody that's too far away. There's nobody that's too far down that path that leads to destruction that cannot be saved. While you're still here on this earth, dear friend, you have an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And you can do that by following this command, by having this obedience, enter in through the narrow gate. Repentance towards God, it says in Romans, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at your life, realizing that you're far away from God. Looking at your life and realizing that actually nothing that you've ever done can come close to earning your salvation. Nothing that you've done in your life has ever been pleasing to God without Christ. And realizing that your life as it stands without God is completely nothing. And that you need a new start, a fresh start, and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, so that you can start on this wonderful journey that eventually leads to an eternity praising God in glory. That's the optimum point of the gospel, is that we have, dear friend, as Christians, this hope that one day we will come together as the church and we will be able to spend eternity worshipping and praising God forever. That's like the end goal of the gospel. God desires people to be in his presence, dear friend, and the way he's done it is by giving his only beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody in this room tonight that feels that their salvation is something that they are maybe doubtful about, or something that they may feel they haven't properly grasped hold of, dear friend, tonight is your opportunity as well. It's often said that if you're not sure about whether you're saved or not, you make tonight the night. Dear friend, the gospel is preached in this hall every single week so that we can be reminded of what God has done, and that we can have the surety and that we can know the safety of what it is to being held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and held in the hand of the Father. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Once you've entered in through that narrow gate, there's no turning back. You can't become an un-Christian. You can't become unsaved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we don't have to keep coming back to be washed in the blood. We're washed in the blood once and once for all. It's done and done forever. It is finished, the cry was on that cross. And it's done. And dear friend, now you can have that wonderful safety. You can feel the peace that nothing else can give you, that you are on the pathway that leads to life. So as I said, there's two pathways. We start, whether we like it or not, on the pathway that leads to destruction. Inherent sin, as we come under the curse of sin, we find ourselves wandering away from God. And yet God in his grace has devised this plan whereby we can come into the most wonderful blessing because of what his son did on that cross. And dear friend, the offer of salvation now is open to every single person in this room. You can sit on your chair here in Worthing tonight. You can look at your life. You can look at the life of the Lord Jesus. You can see him through the eye of faith hanging on that cross at Calvary and know that that was done for you, dear friend. And know that he is no longer there. We referenced this morning in the morning meeting. He's no longer there, but he's risen, he's seated, and one day he's going to return for all those that belong to him. That's a wonderful hope, isn't it, that we have as Christians. That no matter we go through a lot of trials and tough times down here, but one day it's all going to come to an end and we will be safe in the arms of Jesus, as the hymn says. We will see him face to face. We will be like him and we will be forever with him. That's a wonderful hope that we have as a Christian, as a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wonderful hope is available again to everybody in this room tonight. It's not something that you get later on in life. Everything that God wants to give you in Christ can be found straight away. You might not come into it straight away. It takes a long time on this journey. But dear friend, all the blessings that God wants to give you are available in Christ, and they're available for you right now. it's a wonderful thing. I was trying to find a passage in the Bible somewhere that gave a description of heaven, because I wanted to talk about what it might be like, but it's actually not very much in the Bible about heaven. But heaven is going to be a wonderful place, not because of all the things that you might imagine heaven is like. Heaven will be a wonderful place because the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be there. That's the reason, dear friend. The Christianity is very different to many other different types of religions, where you follow rules or you have a far off distant hope of some paradise or something like that. Christianity is very much centered on a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to come to know him and come into a relationship with him right now. This isn't something that you can look forward to. It isn't something that you necessarily have over the horizon. It's something that you can take hold of right now. The gospel is something that you can hold on to and grasp right now. You can come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus at this very moment in time if you repent and believe. I don't really have too much else to say about this. We have, as I say, we have our two ways here. The first way that leads to destruction, the default path that we find ourselves on as human beings. But God, in his grace, has devised this great plan of salvation where every single person can avail themselves of the opportunity that is going on tonight to come to know Christ as their personal Savior and to find the life that God wants and desires to give every single person. That you can have life and you can have it abundantly, it says in one of the Gospels. That's available tonight, dear friend. And I pray that before you leave this room tonight, that you may know what it is to take hold of that life. And even if you've been a Christian for many, many years, that you may take hold of that life with a firmer grasp, that you may really know what it is to live down here for Christ, to be his ambassador down here while we await that great shout and we will be with him forever.